download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's available in the App Store and Google Play. You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
No way.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi, I'm Bob. I am running. Running for Iowa's open seat in the U.S. Senate. Term limits for Congress need to become the 28th Amendment to our U.S. Constitution. I believe in every aspect of our Constitution, which even a baby knows includes the Second Amendment.
If you are the sexual predator and sociopath who murdered my sister Lynette, and you come to my front door to do harm to my girls, I'm going to use my Glock to blow your balls off.
Actual campaign ad.
That is a real campaign ad.
That is an actual campaign ad that was paid for by... Who knows? All right, so this is our final one. The elections, of course, were yesterday, and these are the Sports Hub elections. And, Rich, it's five calls, says it all. Mm-hmm. And what is the issue on the table?
All right, the final one is the 98.5 The Sports Hub personality that will have the least amount of sex in the next 20 years.
Now, you know, someone called in and they said Rich would have skeletons in his closet because he doesn't self-pleasure, which is something I do. But I am sick of porno. I've reached
wow.
the stage where it does. It just is boring.
You're so what do you use the iPad for?
ASMR.
Okay. Just people whispering to you?
Okay. Yep.
I guess that Rolling Stone tried to get Gary Busey to do it, and it went horribly.
Well. Insane. All right. Least amount of sex in the next 20 years. Let's go to Pat.
Five calls says it all.
Pat, go ahead.
Okay, so as much as I love this man, I don't think the station would be the same without him. The obvious answer here is James Stewart.
James Stewart is a married man, and he does have offspring.
Mm-hmm.
So that is proof that at least one time in his life, he has had sexual intercourse. John, who over the next 20 years will have the least amount of sex?
I would have to say, because he co-authored the book... How to Stick a Joke.
What?
It's referring to an old myth about Richard Gere.
That was pretty creative, all things considered.
I kind of sputtered across the finish line.
No, but you know what? I didn't see it coming, did you?
He's taking the old Richard Gere rumors and turning them into his favor.
I heard we're having a surprise near the end of the show.
Yes, Sarge is coming in. Richie, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Listen all day, every day till 2 o'clock. As much as he comes from my hometown, I have to say Beetle.
Mm-hmm. Beetle. He is a married man who has...
A set of twins and a kid. That's like triple anxiety, triple stress. I mean, I'm sure he's been shut off long ago.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And his wife has given birth to three children.
So we have three different ones. We've got... Beetle now for the least amount of sex in the next 20 years. We have
and that
had,
was a very reasonable
yeah.
explanation as to why.
Jay Stu and, of course, Sarge. Only two more calls for the five calls says it all.
All right. Let's go to Donnie. Donnie, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
You played my call earlier to the Jones Show making fun of Sarge, so I'm going to lay off him this time.
Okay.
The obvious answer is Amy Lawrence, and I'll tell you why. She says that she has trouble finding a boyfriend because she, you know, knows so much about sports and people are intimidated. No. It's her awful personality, her terrible laugh, her named car, and all the cats she has in her apartment. She has no room for a boyfriend.
Yes, I mean, that is a safe situation. I mean,
not very nice.
He never insulted her looks or anything.
No.
I mean, everyone is, I mean, you know.
So we have a four-way tie.
Yeah, and I think it would be sexist not to include a woman in this.
Sure.
If everyone is included. Greg, go ahead.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Well, then that settles it.
All right.
I believe.
Sorry. Again.
So five calls says it all. Listen, we didn't choose.
No, just paying for a count. All right. Very good.
So these are
Did Amy Lawrence bring a date to your wedding?
I don't remember. No, I don't remember.
Yeah, that's something you might not remember. All right.
So that is locked in. Let it be written. The elections have taken place. And for the next 2 years, it shall stand. And those are the results. With what? Four out of the six all landing in a tie?
Well, you know what? That's the power of democracy.
It is. That's right. It's democracy in action, you know?
Billy Jaffe is someone who is not allowed to vote based on his felonies in his past. He works at Nesson covering the Boston Bruins. Hello, Billy Jaffe.
I'm usually not speechless, but this is a perfect, I don't know if this is a good or a bad segue into me right now. After listening to that news report and that poll.
Yeah.
It's the best segue ever. What's your problem?
It needed to be finished for the people. All right, Billy, let's bring him up again. Rask only allowed one goal. Now it was a...
Horrendous.
First of all, I learned something. Now, did I learn this correctly, that you can score a goal but not have that be a scoring chance?
Yeah, exactly, because it's kind of subjective. Scoring chances aren't an official stat.
Right.
It's subjective. It's okay, what do you think is a scoring chance? That was basically the facts of the player from Dallas. Was kind of just putting it on net, just coming down the left side. I mean, it's a shot on goal, but right. Is that considered a scoring chance? I mean, it comes down to verbiage, I guess, and duties in the eye of the beholder. But, you know, maybe got tipped regardless. Even Tuukka said, even if it did get tipped off Krug's stick, he had to stop that.
I just had never heard that before, in all honesty.
Yeah.
So, okay, so he only allows that one goal. But in your opinion, because if you look at the box score of the game, Rask played well.
Yeah.
What was your opinion? Is that the case?
The eye test said it was okay. It was good at times. It was just it wasn't a dominant performance.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if he had to be. There were some moments. There were some nice saves, but there were some whoa moments. The one that comes to mind is when he tried to handle the puck late in the game. Remember, and he put it right back up to the crease area.
Yeah.
There, he just doesn't seem yet. He just doesn't seem to be that. I mean, when Tuukka is on, the efficiency, the effectiveness with where he puts pucks on first shots, and how calm he is becomes, and how smooth becomes so evident. And we just aren't there yet, right now.
Okay.
And what's going to happen?
Okay. I got a question about Sagan. He's been exceptionally cold, unless they played since the Bruins game. I'm unaware of that, but
they played last. Yeah.
Did he score a goal? All right, dude, you're breaking up. Can you call us back from a better line? You're breaking up.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'll call you back. You guys sound crystal clear to me.
Well, yeah. Well, what am I lying to you?
No, I'm saying you sound great. Call me right back.
All right. There you go.
Not sounding great.
Yeah. Because I'm fascinated by Sagan because he got that contract.
Yeah, it's been 11 games since he scored a goal, including the one against the Bruins.
Is it 12 now?
Did they play last night? So it's 12. Let's see. Is there any speculation as to him being hurt possibly? Because, I mean, he's been good with the Dallas Stars.
He looked fine.
Right.
He's on pace for 18 goals.
Yeah. Dallas only scored one goal last night, so hang on.
Yeah, I don't
what are the odds it's going to be Sagan?
Probably not good, seeing the way he's been playing.
Yeah. No, not Sagan. So 12 in a row.
No puck luck, as they say. All right, Jeff, go ahead.
Aha!
Okay, hi, how are you doing?
Tuukka Rask is Swiss cheese. Oh, my Lord. He is garbage.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating at this point in the season, especially since they've been able to rack up some points.
That's one of the softest goals I've seen let in, in how long?
I learned a lesson about...
Yep.
Hockey. I learned that
it's not a scoring chance.
If you score a goal, it's not a scoring chance. All right, Billy Jaffe, hello.
Hello, any better?
Yes,
any better?
It is better. Yes, a lot better.
All right, Tyler Sagan has been struggling mightily. He's on pace for 18 goals, which for him obviously is a very low number. When you watch him play, what are you seeing? Anything that is indicative of low totals?
Freddie, he's leading the league in shots, so it's not like he's not getting his chances. It's just they're not going in right now. They're not bearing for him. They're not you know, sometimes, I don't know, it's an old saying, you know, you earn your luck, right? You create your own luck, and sometimes you put all the pucks on net, but you need to, you know, go in off your ass or off a shin pad or something like that just to go in. And he doesn't have that right now. Now, this team, this Dallas team, they're better defensively. They're one of the top five in the league or six right now in the league defensively. But offensively, they're struggling, which is very similar to the Bruins. But Sagan, to me, chances, but does that always mean, you know, shots are nice, but sometimes you just need to get dirty. You need to get inside. And I didn't really notice him at all the other night against the Bruins. I have no idea. They had a full day off in Boston on Sunday. I'm sure they had a nice time, but I don't know. I mean, I didn't notice him. I noticed a couple of other players, but he was really kind of very quiet against the Bees.
Billy, kind of a stunning development yesterday morning. We were talking about it after the show. Joel Quenneville fired in Chicago, three Stanley Cups in a decade. And Chicago, it wasn't like Chicago was 2-11. They were 6-6-3. What happened there?
First of all, how dare they do it in the month of November in the NHL? He is Mr. Mustache in the NHL.
He's a silver fox.
You're absolutely right. What a great guy. If he wants to work, he'll get a job immediately, just like Claude Julien, if he wants. When a job is open, everybody will go to Joel. But what happened there? Bit of a power struggle between general manager Stan Bowman and Joel Quenneville. There's no doubt about it. He made some major trades in the last couple of years out of Chicago. And one of them, Joel Quenneville was so perturbed when they traded the defenseman Nick Jarmelson two summers ago to the Arizona Coyotes that he left a meeting that the Chicago Blackhawks were having at the draft quarters for them. And, you know, he's a proud guy. He's a strong guy, like a lot of good coaches, opinionated as all heck. Firm players love him, absolutely love him. And, you know, I just think what ended up happening, the Blackhawks, and if you listen to their press conference yesterday, they talked about having to do something swiftly. We made some major changes over the course of the last decade with this franchise. It was awful before certain people got there, including Quenneville, and they just felt they had to make a swift change. It's just so ironic. They're hiring this 33-year-old kid who I know. I mean, Jeremy Colleton played a bit with the Islanders organization, but he's only been in coaching a couple of years and only 1 year in North America. It's such a stark contrast from what they had with Quenneville.
Okay, real quick, back to the Bruins. Is there a point where you, if you were Bruce Cassidy, you would consider splitting up that first line? I know it seems like a bad idea because they are one of the best lines in hockey, but, it's kind of ridiculous just how little or how ineffective all the other lines have been. When do you say, let's give it a try?
Yesterday. I loved when he did it a few games ago and it got results. Loved it. And I'm a huge Bruce Cassidy fan. I think he's got great pulse. I think he has an awesome feel, but he likes that line together. He's asked repeatedly about it. But I've been saying that I would like to see for maybe two games, try. You can always go back to it, Rich, on the power play. And we see what happens on the power play, right? They score big goals. They scored both the other night in the win over Dallas. But, Anders Bjork is playing a little bit. He had a nice game the other night, a little better. Heinen's still struggling. I got to think if you put one of those two guys, hypothetically speaking, on the right side with Bergeron and Marchand, then I think it could help propel them to better play. And I think putting Pastrnak with Krejci and DeBrusk would give that balance. Krejci's played well. I think he's played real well as the last couple of weeks. And yeah, I think it could help him. Yeah.
He looks like he has a little jump right now.
Jump, yeah. I'd love to see it. Bruce, he obviously in the coaching staff feels differently about it. You can always go back. But I'd love to see it for a solid game or two and give that a try.
All right, Billy Jaffe, you can watch him on Nesson during the games and wherever else he may roam. Billy, thank you so much for the time as always.
All right, guys. We'll see you in studio next week. Enough of this travel thing. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, right. Maybe you can honor your commitment. Yep.
All right. That would be nice.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. There you go. Billy Jaffe. All right. We will return in just a moment.
Tucker and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Tucker and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
I'm Joe Exotic, and today this is not going out to any kind of a presidential candidate or any politician. The purpose of this video today is to let you know who I am. First thing is, I am not cutting my hair. I'm not changing the way I dress. I refuse to wear a suit. I am gay. I've had two boyfriends most of my life. I currently got legally married. Thank God. It's finally legal in America. I've had some kinky sex. I have tried drugs through the younger years of my life. I am broke as shit. I have a judgment against me from some bitch down there in Florida. But I can tell you, I paid a fine with the USDA, and that is nothing but a civil fine, ladies and gentlemen. It does not mean that I was accused or convicted of any kind of animal cruelty thing. I built one of the biggest facilities and the nicest facilities for exotic animals in this country as far as a private individual goes. I'm Joe Exotic, and don't forget, I am now stepping my foot in the ring to run for president. And this is all paid for by the committee of Joe Exotic Speaks for America.
On 8-5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, just a couple of quick things. First of all, I don't know if you saw the story yesterday, but Craig Kimbrell seems to be making it very easy for the Red Sox to say bye-bye. I don't know if you heard the pitch that Craig Kimbrell's agent has come out with. So John Heyman yesterday wrote an article and said that the agent Dave Meter has fairly straightforward pitch on client Craig Kimbrell. He says, quote, "He's the best of all time, not just recently, but all time. Lowest ERA, lowest batting average against, lowest OPS against." Also points out that he saved all his chances, even this postseason. And everything just went swimmingly this postseason, yes, as we know with Craig Kimbrell.
I got to look up Mariano Rivera's numbers. I'll be back.
Okay, well, how about just look at Mariano Rivera's in the postseason?
Yeah, I think he has the best career postseason ERA ever.
Yes. Come on, it's absurd. You don't even need to look these things up. You realize that Craig Kimbrell is not the greatest of all time. However, doesn't that just make things super easy for Dave Dombrowski just to be like, well, obviously.
I don't think it was ever hard. Yeah. I don't think this decision was very much in doubt from the World Series.
I mean more like saving any kind of face for anyone who might have possibly wanted to keep Craig Kimbrell on his team.
If I'm the Red Sox, I'm not interested in anyone who wants Craig Kimbrell to be on this team. At his age and with the decline of his performance, no, I would not want him. I would not sign a really closer. Closers can lose it. They can just lose it.
Who on this staff could you use as a closer?
I would bet Kelly is one of the prime options. If he is able to get it together like he had it in the playoffs last year.
Oh yeah.
I mean, 100 miles per hour.
He wants to be a starter.
I know he does, but
and I think he's going to get teams interested in him being a starter, and I think he might take a little less money to get that opportunity.
Why would you take less? You see, get paid to, I mean, I always thought closers, obviously the pressure is ridiculous, but I would think that if the Red Sox, you would have to think would be willing to pay a decent amount of money to keep him as a closer.
Look, if it's not Kelly, if they don't bring Kelly back and Kelly decides he wants to be a starter, whatever the case may be, I mean, Dombrowski said it after the parade, they're looking at in-house candidates. I mean, you figure Brazier. I mean, Brazier can throw 100 also.
Right.
I mean, I've said my piece about Matt Barnes. He proved me wrong in the playoffs. I don't think he's a closer. I think it would be Brazier before it would be Barnes, but what do I know?
I think Kelly's going to get a decent amount of money to be a starter.
Well, you're probably right.
A lot of people would say I'm not, I truly think that a team's going to look at it and say,
we'll see.
Maybe he's more even equipped to start.
I mean, even if you get fourth starter money, that's a lot more than a lot of closers.
Yeah.
Well, think of it this
way. Yeah, you're right, yeah.
But let's say you are the Red Sox and you want to bring back Joe Kelly. First of all, is it smart to pay that amount of money for Joe Kelly, who just kind of found lightning for one small sliver of time?
You're talking my language.
And it happened to be the right time.
It's happened. I keep bringing up Derek Lowe, but it's true. I mean, you're horrible for long periods of time, but you get it together in the playoffs. In a walk year, yeah. I mean, that's going to get you a lot of cash.
What do you have more confidence in him being able to do, close games or start?
close because I don't think he has the stuff to start. I don't think he has the stuff. I think he's got an electric fastball. He's got a pretty good breaking ball. But to be a good starter in this league, you have to throw three or four pitches.
Because he was a good starter in this league.
Well, wherever the third or fourth pitch went, it's gone now.
Well, I trust him more as a starter, especially in the way baseball is now.
I disagree.
I mean, you don't have to go six innings in a game anymore.
I don't think he has enough stuff for a third time through the order. I really don't.
Well, again, with the way baseball's played now, I'm not positive how often you have to go through the...
Well, for Kelly, I think the third time through the order is the fifth inning.
Now you're undercutting him.
I'm sorry. That's my fault. I'm being mean.
Would you rather have Wade Miley start or Joe Kelly?
Joe Kelly.
All right. So
I had to think about it.
Enough.
I had to think about it.
How about Pomerantz or Kelly?
Oh, that's not fair. Of course, Kelly.
Yeah, so you're telling me that Kelly could be a back-end starter.
Well, I mean, you're talking about two guys that are awful.
Wade
Miley is in a rotation of a playoff team.
I wanted to trade Wade Miley a long time ago, you'll remember.
In fairness. I didn't say Wade Miley is the second coming of Koufax. I'm just saying he's a back-end starter on a playoff team.
I think Kelly would have more success as a reliever / closer than he will as a starter at this point in his career.
Right. If he's a setup guy, I think that's the best scenario for him. But I'd rather have him be my starter than have him close.
No, he said it before he's wanted to start, but he had all his success as a reliever. I think teams are going to look at him as a closer because he has the big fastball.
I'd take a chance on him. Because I don't think
as I just said, if I'm Kelly, I'm going to make more money as a starting pitcher anyway.
Right.
So you obviously shop yourselves that way, but I don't know if other teams see him that way anymore.
I think they will. And when they will, John. Oh, I'm going to slap you around.
When he signs with Toronto, comes here and throws six shutout innings?
I never said he's going to throw six shutout innings.
If he gets through five and gives up three runs and five hits, boy, you'll be justified then.
Hey, he'll be starting.
Correct.
I never said he'd be great.
Oh.
But I think he's got enough stuff to be a fourth starter.
Okay.
All right, well, this rarely happens, but after John Wallach's headlines, there is an NFL star that was offered more money by the Patriots than the team he eventually chose to go to.
And I'm about to ruin that in the headlines.
Oh, well, then, you know what? Just leave it out of the headlines.
You want me to leave it out of the headlines?
Leave it out of the headlines. It's big, right. What's more important, sir? A big market
true.
Tease?
Good
or
point. The show. It's all for the show. I'm leaving it out.
That's right.
That's it. I'm going to leave it out.
All mm-hmm. right, here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, the stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
So the Raiders, they're just getting rid of everyone, including Bruce Irvin, who passed through waivers after the Raiders cut him. And it was announced this morning that he will be signing with the Atlanta Falcons. Now, he's 31 years old. He had 3 sacks so far this season. He had a career-high 8 sacks last season. And now, according to Mike Reese, it looks like one of the teams that was in on Bruce Irvin was the Patriots. However, here was his quote. He says, quote, "Signing to the Falcons is a dream come true. The Patriots and the Steelers offered more money, but being able to play for my city and my people, you just can't put a price on that." So he took less money in order to be, I guess he's from Atlanta, but he turned down the New England Patriots. So maybe they have more fun in Atlanta. Maybe that's
you
what
think. You know what Falcons do? Falcons rise up.
They do rise up.
You know
up.
What also happens is that you're not 60 miles away from any kind of major metropolis.
That might be part of it as well. I would think that if you're someone who's just looking to enjoy yourself.
Especially if I'm a black athlete, I think Atlanta would probably be a pretty good place to go.
Well, I do know that it's got a lot of great nightclubs. I mean, matter of fact, it was Mike Gorman who we had on one time, and we were asking him about, you know, which court had the best advantage, like the home court advantage in the NBA. And here I was thinking he was going to say something like Oklahoma City, because many people say that when you play the Thunder back in the day, it was felt like a college town. I mean, it was everyone was in there. It was everyone's always nuts. The crowd's crazy. But he said, no, it's believe it or not, it's the Atlanta Hawks. And the Atlanta Hawks, I think when we talked to them, were, you know, pretty bad. And we said, well,
still are. Why?
Well, also on top of that, it sounds like a Celtics game every time there's a Hawks. Even when the Hawks were good, it's always sounded like a Celtics game. Yeah, until the fans would show up. Yeah, and he said, it's because what'll happen is these guys will get into town, and there's so many great nightclubs there that these guys want to go to. They'll stay out all night,
And I guess there might even be something to the Atlanta Hawks, if they're not a juggernaut of a team, they're like, okay, well, we can afford to maybe stay out a little bit later, and then you're just wrecked.
Well, a ton of guys live there in the off season. I mean, a ton of athletes live out there in the off season. So, I mean, for a lot of these guys, it might be where they have one of their residences.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think that explains some of it.
Well, 5 years after the TV show concluded, many people saying the greatest drama in TV history, it looks like a movie is finally coming out. Breaking Bad. According to the Albuquerque Journal, they say that there is a feature film titled Greenbrier that is being filmed by Breaking Bad creator Vince Gilligan, and will begin filming this month through early February. Now, according to the New Mexico Film Office, the production Greenbrier, it says that it is a story about, it tracks the escape of a kidnapped man and his quest for freedom. So many people are immediately thinking it's the story of Jesse Pinkman and what happens after Breaking Bad is finished and done with.
Well, they're really wringing that thing dry.
Well, it's all good. But that's the thing. Is like, I mean, everything that they've done, like Better Call Saul started off a little slow. That last season was unbelievable. And I mean, and you know what I think about Breaking Bad, the TV show. It's, in my opinion, the best all-around front-to-back season of, not season, series on television. And I like Better Call Saul, so I'll take a movie, a two-hour movie. Hell yeah, I'll take it.
There's a lot of shows I like that it's enough's enough. And I like Breaking Bad a lot.
And Breaking Bad's not one of those, though. And you're right. I agree with you. There's someone like, okay, it's too much.
No,
but
there's shows I like far more than Breaking Bad that I would be like, okay, you got a spinoff, and now you're going to do a movie. It's a little bit much.
If there was a Always Sunny in Philadelphia movie, would you go to see it?
I'd go to see it, but there's also no spinoffs off of it, and it's going to be a half-an-hour comedy. Always Sunny in Philadelphia are 10-episode seasons. A better example would be if The Sopranos had a spinoff and then they came out with a movie. I would think that that's a little bit much. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. But and my argument is that everything that they've done has been great. So why would I think this
I tried a Better Call Saul, and it's just so slow in the beginning.
It's like what people say about The Wire, is that you got to get through like the first, and the first and second season are good. They're just not great. And
see,
then
The Wire, you have to get through the first two episodes. So there's a difference.
Okay.
Like, I watched quite a bit of Better Call Saul, and I made the decision. I'm just like, I can't sift through this garbage to get to something that's good.
Without spoiling anything, in Better Call Saul, once a major character dies, it takes off like a rocket, and it's nonstop. And I will say this: it's worth watching all those other ones leading up to it. It's that good. Last season was that good.
I just don't like that these shows now feel that they can, you know, they have the luxury of just moving so slow. No. They don't feel the need to grab you at first at all.
Yeah, whereas back in the day, I mean, that's one great thing about Breaking Bad is it grabbed you right away.
It grabbed you right away, and so did The Shield,
mm-hmm.
which I still contend has the best ending of any series that I've ever seen. In fact, it's the only show that I thought, wow, this is like an incredible ending. They really got it right.
They wrapped everything up very neatly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the way it actually ends the last scene, you're like, boy, yeah, this is good stuff.
Perfect ending for the main character.
Yeah.
Well, but the craziest thing is that, you know, they're just now filming, and this is something that's been rumored for a while, a Deadwood movie. Like, first of all, was Deadwood even that big of a show?
No.
And for some reason, people who watch it, like, love that show.
I tried to watch that, too.
All right. Well, I got a weird feeling that's... And by the way, this Breaking Bad thing, just because it's a movie doesn't mean it's going to be out of the theaters. This might be, like, a Netflix thing, or maybe even AMC might do, like, a movie-type situation.
All right.
So, but it is supposed to be a two-hour feature, and it's about to be, you know, they say that it is... They're speculating that it's the end of Breaking Bad after what happens in Breaking Bad. So there you go. Now they have a prequel and a sequel to Breaking Bad.
It's like Star Wars.
Yes, it is. They go all over the place. Well, LiAngelo and LaMelo Ball are still trying to work their way into the NBA like their older brother, Lonzo. Hey, how about them Lakers, huh? Did you hear how Magic Johnson sat down and said, Luke Walton, you know, what happened? I thought you were a good coach. And I'd say, no. Only you thought he was a good coach.
And the roster you gave him kind of stinks.
Yeah, you see, he was successful with, the greatest players of all time, it seems like. They're saying that Golden State Warriors might go down as the greatest team of all time, and you were blown away that Luke Walton made that work? Yeah.
No, and on a part-time basis.
Yeah, right. As a fill-in for Steve Kerr, where it was already Steve Kerr's system, and he basically just said, hey, remember what you did when he was here? Do it again.
You know what? I could coach that team and have a winning record.
Of course you could, Fred. Of course.
I mean, I just would, if someone was tired, I'd take them out.
And that's why I love how, like everyone, like Magic Johnson's blown away that this team's not winning. Right. Now, LeBron James, it is kind of funny what's going on. He's getting a lot of crap because apparently after their team sucked the other night, he went out to, like, Diddy's birthday party. And the Lakers fans are like, how dare you not sit home and sulk about losing to some crap team?
Well, why do you think he went to L.A.?
That's exactly right. Like, he went there because that's what he wants to do.
Yes, he wants to get involved in all that stuff, and he already is.
Well, where are LiAngelo and LaMelo these days?
Well, they're taking new steps in their basketball careers and hoping of making a career in the NBA reality. According to Shams from The Athletic, LiAngelo, the middle of the three Ball brothers, is planning to enter a player pool to sign a contract with the NBA G League team.
It's just mean to like keep like doing this to
a
him.
Player pool?
There's a time where you got to pull out of this. I mean, he wasn't going to start at UCLA.
He doesn't have a choice. This is what he's been painted into a corner to do.
But, I mean, I don't have a choice to play center field for the Red Sox, but I'm not still pursuing that goal.
He's going to pursue any and all options, and if he doesn't, LeVar will. Of course he should have.
Because he
can't say no to his dad.
Top three picks in the draft are either going to be a European kid who's 17. I don't even know. It's either going to be freshmen from Duke, or it's going to be
top four picks are the three freshmen from Duke and one European guy. Yeah. In some way, shape, or form. Those are the top four picks.
He's
right
probably
now.
17.
How's that Zion guy, by the way?
Amazing.
Okay.
I saw part of the game. I saw part of the game on replay last night. Yeah, they blew Kentucky off the face of the earth last night.
I watched almost the entire Michigan State game, and then I saw Duke, and they were just insane. But my point being, so if you're an NBA player, chances are you're a dominant freshman now. Now, you could, but you're certainly starting as a freshman unless it's wildly
unless you go to Kentucky 10 years ago.
Sure.
Yes.
So the idea that he went to UCLA, and Lord knows what that whole thing was, like, I'm not positive, like, he earned that scholarship.
Of course he did. He didn't earn the scholarship.
Right. Okay, so
Alford had to promise scholarships for the younger two kids to get Lonzo.
So my point is, he wasn't going to start. He was gifted the scholarship. He's never going to play in the NBA. It's just not going to happen.
So this is great.
I'm not wrong.
No,
you're not.
You're not wrong. So according to Shams, he says, so LiAngelo has notified the NBA G League teams that he's planning to enter that player pool to sign a G League contract. As we know, Ball went undrafted in June for the NBA draft after playing Lithuania.
I like they have to mention the fact that he went undrafted.
Yeah, it's like,
to bring that up.
In other words, this is absurd.
Yes.
On top of that, LaMelo Ball will return to the States to play high school basketball.
Where?
At Spire Institute in Ohio.
How did they find that high school?
Dude, I have no idea.
How do they find Spire in Ohio? The kids from L.A., I mean, LaVar Ball, I'm thinking, has no connection to this high school. How did that high school wind up landing this kid? And by the way, after turning pro, which LaMelo did, how is he able to go back and play high school?
I don't know.
Dude, I don't know. All I know is
I'm thinking that's pretty much against any and all rules governing amateur sports,
well,
right?
Lockhart just told me that Spire team apparently has a kid who's 7'7". High school kid.
Okay, great.
7'7".
But he didn't turn pro. He's legit allowed to be there. How is LaMelo Ball able to come back from playing professionally overseas and play high school basketball?
I don't know. You can't even do an ad for money about something else that's not even basketball related. I mean, you can't take money from, the guys who hand out the money.
I mean, I know the NCAA is lax on a ton of things,
the donors.
That's not even it.
It's the guys who put the monies in the pocket.
Yeah, that's not even what they are. They're not called donors.
Oh, what do they do? I'm just thinking of Blue Chips, the movie.
Yeah. It's called something else.
Which, by the way, is a legitimately great movie. I love Blue Chips.
Yeah.
Blue Chips is all right. If you're hungover, that's not bad to have on. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey
Fred. I got to say, this season of Sunny in Philly has been phenomenal, and it's funny that a lot of the episodes haven't had Dennis on the episodes at all. But I do think that they can take Mac and his sexual preferences, and I think they could make a spinoff of that as long as it didn't focus on the bar.
Okay, so I just listened to a podcast with Mac. I can't pronounce his last name because it's not pronounced the way I thought. First of all, it's with Dax Shepard, so it's just vomit-inducing.
Yeah.
But he has no intention of acting outside of this show. Like, his idea is that he's a showrunner and a very good comedic writer, and he's a not a good actor. It's what he says. So, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna ask you. I think the first episode focusing around the Dennis sex doll, I think is by far the second best ever Sunny episode. What do you think?
I wouldn't go that far, but I watched it three times. I wouldn't go that far, but again, I did a podcast about It's Always Sunny, and I got like, I'm like, there's so many great episodes that I can't even choose. But I agree, this season has been very good. Very good.
I think the best ever Sunny episode is the Wade Boggs drinking episode.
That's a great one. I think it might be the Little Darlings one, where he does the show for the beauty pageant. Frank's Little Darling.
Oh, yes, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Happy Wednesday.
All right, thank you. Happy Wednesday.
Can you do me a favor, Frank? Can you just say, "Oh crap!
Oh crap!"
Okay, so you're the guy from Independence Day.
I am the guy from Independence Day.
That's right.
He was Harvey Firestein. A great show is Big Mouth. That's on Netflix. It's phenomenal.
It's supposed to be great.
No, it's absolutely phenomenal. And I believe Harvey Firestein was a voice in the penultimate. I'm all over the place with my vocabulary. A penultimate episode, and it was nice just to hear, "Oh my, I've done nothing." It was Mrs. Doubtfire, and then where's Harvey?
Well, of course, you know, he was big with John Waters, the Hairspray guy.
Hairspray. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be right back. We'll find out what Zoic and Bertrand have on the way.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
John is in Vegas. John, we only have like 45 seconds, so you have to go quick.
All right, I'll be very quick. First, I love the show, Amy. Fantastic. I listen to you every day. But the big thing on the Pats is I don't think they can win a championship this year. I love the Pats. I think they're rolling at 7-2. But Brady looks a little old. The defense looks suspect. And just real quick, my other point was the other day, you got a call, a guy talking about Mike Sarge Riley in Boston, a radio host. I wanted to just confirm with you, he is really terrible on the radio.
Oh, stop. Stop it, John. I can't believe you're wasting your time. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. If you want to criticize, then call his radio station and criticize him. Don't call me and make my show a platform for that. I don't know the guy. I don't know anything about him. And you shouldn't be, I mean, can we have some class, please? I apologize to, what was his name? Mike. I'm sorry, that shouldn't be happening on my show. If I had known that, it wouldn't have happened. 855-212-4227. That's our number when you have class.
Show a little class.
Mm.
Yeah.
Show a little class.
That was, not classy.
That your was, favorite Thanksgiving meal? What do you call it? Like a side? That's something that's been brought up in the Amy Lawrence show.
Well, I have been told that in the hallways, ready to come in, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Zoe. Ready to seal the seven seas? Sarge.
I've heard he's here.
Sarge. It's all good, baby.
Where is he?
So that means Hardy is co-hosting and Sarge is in for Hardy. Is that correct?
Sarge is in for Hardy.
That's correct.
And Zolak is here. Where's Sarge?
I don't know.
You think he'd want to come in?
Do you think there's some kind of grudge he has against the show?
I don't think that.
He's like legitimately mad?
No, who knows? He probably got the call late. I mean, Beetle wasn't confirmed out until, I think, after 8 a.m.
Was he sick?
He was feeling it last night, and then he finally did the official tap out, and then Sarge probably got the late call, and he'll be here.
Okay.
Because he usually likes popping right on TV.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't want to miss a second.
Is there another song that he sings?
There might be. I'll have to take a look and see if there's something that might be. Oh, yeah, maybe this classic, ladies and gentlemen. How about...
Sarge. Rocking out of Cowlin' with Jay Stu. Sarge. Getting free saga swings from Andy Wong. Sarge. Sarge really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Jay Stu, I just may.
It's really cold outside.
Monday Night Raw
with Dean Ambrose
is on tonight.
Roman Reigns is gonna suplex Bray Wyatt.
I know it's gonna be soon.
Like your dad
will be eating at Kowloon.
Don't go to sleep.
So hey, Andy Wong,
he's cool and will be spared.
Let's have some song against Wayne.